Kessler gave you some fantasy tidbits. Mike Tripp with ESPN. We talked a little Saints from him as well. Gary Smith from The Advocate in Picayune. We spoke about the changes in Uptown New Orleans under Willie Fritz's staff at offensive coordinator. And Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, spoke with us at 12:30 about the upcoming matchup with Alabama. But we also talked about basketball, Will Wade and his team, right? I mean, he said they could be competing for an SEC championship this year.
Giving LSU fans hope.
There you go. Think about that. We bring in now the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Andrew Legretta. You can hear him, of course, on Saturday when Tulane takes on Memphis. And Hoops also has started. So we're going to do just like we did with Chris. Andrew, first off, we'll welcome you. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am well. But to talk to you guys.
And also, you got basketball, a couple of games under your belt, man. So is it nice to actually have Hoops off and running, even though obviously it's a different season, but Hoops off and running for the men?
Yeah, it's a different deal, right? There's a lot of different precautions that we have to take at Devlin Fieldhouse, but it's good to get back that group of guys, whether it's Coach Ross Hunter, his coaching staff. It is a totally, totally revamped roster, as anyone that goes to the website. So it's good to get back in there, watch them play. They've got good pieces, and they're off to a good start, 2-0.
So when you look at the start to the season, 2-0, the win against Lamar, 66-57, and Lipscomb, 68-66. When you look at both of those, I want to say slow starts, but then they kind of found a way to win. And look, when you want to be a consistent winner, there are steps to it, right? Finding ways to win. Closing out games, making key free throws, getting key stops. You almost, unfortunately, have to learn on the fly with that, and especially, as you mentioned, with some roster turnover. I think if you're Ron Hunter, you're happy with that, right?
Oh, I would think so. And quite frankly, guys, I think you could take a lot of the conversations that we had in college football back in August and September and recycle them for college basketball, meaning that there was an awkward amount of prep time. The prep time was different. Rosters are different. The guys are not used to each other, and the normal way that you get into a flow and in a rhythm doesn't happen right now. There was no exhibition. There was no scrimmage game that these guys are used to. So you say, oh, well, that effectively was a closed scrimmage atmosphere and their first scrimmage together as a group. So I think there's a lot of reasons for those slow starts, and I suspect that they will get more smooth throughout the course of the season. But yeah, when you walk out of the building 2-0 and you do so against Lipscomb, the team that is picked to win its conference, the A-Sun, I think you feel pretty good about yourself.
Speak with Andrew Legretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave here. The next up, next meeting will be Southern Miss next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's interesting because Southern Miss obviously is in the news because they have just recently announced the hiring of Will Hall. Was the offensive coordinator for the Tulane Green Wave. When we talked with Gary Smith a little bit about it earlier, look, no surprise in that. He's been a name that's been hot out there. As an alum for Southern Miss, I think it's a good hire. That program needs structure. They need leadership. They need somebody that can do some offense. And look, so I'll ask you this aspect. What did Will Hall bring, and what is he leaving at Tulane that you'll remember him for?
Let's start with what he's leaving behind, because I think he's leaving behind one of the better quarterbacks to play in Uptown. You know, I don't know. I'm always somewhat guarded about the historical comparisons, but you're talking about the J.P. Losman, Patrick Ramsey type stuff when you're leaving behind a Michael Pratt, who I think has the ability throughout the course of his next couple of years to be that. And he is a guy that I would expect to stay around here at Tulane. Well, it's going to get super uncomfortable, not just at Tulane, but across the college landscape with this one-time transfer rule. So if you talk about what's coming back at any university over the next, you know, 5-6 months, it's going to be totally fluid. But I would expect Michael to be in the rotation for Tulane for the next couple of years. And the fact that Will Hall leaves behind a guy like that with an offense, I think is pretty exciting for Tulane fans. In terms of what he installed a pro-style offense that's got concepts from, you know, the New Orleans Saints, from the Baltimore Ravens, from the New England Patriots. It is a more modern offense out there right now. And you know what, Gus? I think you could make the comment that Willie Fritz made a very strategic and smart decision to run the offense when he first run the option offense when he first got here, because you needed to do something different to level the playing field. But once Tulane started to get the athletes in, it was good to turbocharge the offense. And I think that's exactly what Will Hall did. So he was a huge addition for 2 years, there's no doubt.
Reports out there, and again, Coach Fritz this week said, look, he's focused on Memphis and he's going to look at it officially later and all, but there's a lot of reports out there nationally that it's Chip Long that's the guy that could be more than likely the offensive coordinator, who happened to be Will Hall's, college roommate. And look, you look at the credentials. He was the OC at Notre Dame. What was it, 33-6? So I guess if you had to go from one, you and I know a former Tulane player whose response when we asked him his thoughts said, Chip bleeping Long, and it was the four-letter word. But the problem, though, as I said earlier in the show, that word can be used in so many different ways. So we had to double-check he was the good way. He was excited about it. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, you beat me to it, right? Like, we both cage, and I do all of the time, my football opinions on what Jimmy Ordinow thinks.
Yes,
exactly. And the fact that Jimmy Ordinow, if it continues to trend this direction, likes the way that it's going, then sign me up. And I think more than anything else is talked with you, talked with Jimmy, talked with Steve Berrios, who does the color for us on the broadcast. If you're Coach Willie Fritz and you changed recruiting philosophies midstream from option to pro style.
Yes.
What would be really difficult to do going into your sixth season is if you changed offensive philosophies, is to change your recruiting philosophy for a third time, looking for a third different type of player. And that's a reset button in year six. And Coach Fritz doesn't want to do that. So if it trends in this direction, bare minimum, it's a continuation of the recruiting that they've been going at for the past couple of years with Will Hall, and that is gigantic for the program.
Very well said. Speak with Andrea Legretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. So, look, we go back to Coach Fritz here. In terms of what he said to us on the show on Tuesday, the importance of this game. You know, for Memphis, man, in the history, and you and I have felt like since you've come over and become the voice, you and I have had so many conversations about what Tulane battles, and one of their battles is not just the opponent, it's the history. And, you know, the last time on the field, I told you, that's a house of horrors for a reason. And it's been fun to kind of see it through your eyes, because you're like, those guys don't even play. They never even played on, you know, in those games that made it houses of horrors and stuff. And it's always been a fun and interesting dynamic to see how that matters. But in past matchups with Memphis, it's been one-sided, just athlete-wise and all of that. For many of those games, not every time. But I think in this one, when you think and hear Coach Fritz say that this game matters so much to him, maybe that's an added advantage, because for Memphis, yeah, I know there's an outside shot for them to play for a conference title, but it's not their normal season. For Tulane, a six win is, I think, bigger than Memphis getting their win.
Well, I'll put one reset on that, Gus. It's the fact that, you know, narratives become these really big things, and they can happen quickly, and sometimes they can be hard to change. Memphis was a horrid football program a decade ago. It took Justin Fuente coming in there and providing a jolt to that program for them to be this behemoth that we look at them as with all of these athletes. So thinking of Memphis as this immovable object is certainly, if I was a coach, something to reinvade. Look, they're very good. They've got skilled players out there, so on and so forth. But they're not this, like, you know, 100-year history of Memphis football that just comes in and clobbers you. So that's worth keeping in mind. You know, as far as what it means for Tulane, yeah, I think what's frustrating from probably a fan standpoint is you look back at the Tulsa game, the Navy game, the SMU game, and you're thinking, probably should have gone 2-1 in those three, and instead you go 0-3. So you feel like you should have 7 wins, so on and so forth. But man, it's like you said, you battle the history with Tulane, and the fact that if you can beat Memphis, you can say things like go to 3 consecutive bowl games for the first time in program history. You can say winning record for 3 consecutive seasons for the first time in 38 years. I know Tulane fans want to sit there and say we should be 7 and fill in the blank at this moment in time. But the inertia has been so strong that a victory and continue to feel like Tulane football is no longer this just, I don't know, doormat, whatever adjective you want to put on it, that would be good. It would be great because it takes that sort of tie to continue to push it forward. So, yeah, there's plenty of emotional things riding on this game. Does it really dictate the trajectory of the program? Probably not, but there's emotion.
11 a.m. is the kickoff on Saturday. Memphis 6-2, 4-2 in conference play. The Green Wave looking for win number 6. I always like to end our conversations by asking you something we're going to be paying attention to, a key to the game perhaps for Tulane fans watching or attending.
You know what? Here we go. I'm going to go granular on you guys. I'm going to go right down to a position battle. How about this one? Tulane's secondary has struggled throughout the course of the entire season, and part of the problem is Tulane's best cornerback, Jalen Rowe, stands at about 5'9", 5'10", whatever it happens to be, and he has struggled at times matching up against big, tall, physical wide receivers. He's good, but he's small. Here's the key, though. Memphis' best wide receiver is number 4, Calvin Austin. Tremendous talent, but he, Gus, is also 5'9". Memphis likes to throw it. He's a big-time factor, but Jalen Monroe has a fair fight height-wise against Memphis. If he can slow down number 4 for the Tigers, I think that's a really good thing for Tulane.
There it is. You just gave us exactly a matchup to kind of keep an eye on, too, as well. I think it'll be interesting from my perspective as well to see how this team sort of gets back on the, you know, on the field and field. I almost think the bye week and the fact they played on Thursday, that Tulsa game seems so long ago, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. It you know, here's one thing that is worth noting. I talked with Coach Fritz earlier this week. He weighed exactly how he wanted to handle the holiday with his team. Mm-hmm. He felt like more than anything they did need a reset, so he let the guys go home. Of course, he's going to worry about how they feel going home and what the testing looks like coming back. And talking with him, he felt like the testing went, you know, not perfect, but really, really well. So that bodes well. They get the rest, and they don't get hammered with any sort of testing situation with guys going home. So that is a good sign.
Well, there you go. Well, we'll find out what happens on Saturday over at Yeoman, 11 a.m., and we'll look forward to your call, man. Thank you for your time, as always, sir.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Andrea Allegretta, you can go follow him over on Twitter, of course, at A. Allegretta. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it is time for Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, as we will take a look at some of the big games on the weekend at Heat Season Horizon. Bottom of the hour, we'll play what Sean Payton had to say as he met with local media today on the Falcon defense, Taysom Hill as well. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma is so much more than shipping, especially during this holiday season. They offer a wide range of products and services to assist small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banner shredding, faxing, and more. They're located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Remember being in your favorite sport clips, getting set for that great MVP haircut experience? Yeah, how about if we made that wait even shorter? Now, with Sport Clips On Deck text alerts, when you check in online or with our app, we'll text you a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in. And when you're the next man up, you'll get another text to come take your seat. Less wait time, more prime time. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. We'll hear from Lee Sterling here shortly from Paramount Sports as we get a hold of him here quickly. But first, let's play one quick bite as to what Taysom Hill had to say about that, the game plan kind of maybe the way it is and him being able to manage the team and see what it was like. We'll a little bit more at the bottom of the hour.
Honestly, I've never been in a situation like that, you know, and obviously it's never happened before where you're getting ready to play an opposing team and all of a sudden they don't have a quarterback that can play in the game. So it was a unique experience for me, and I wish I, you know, would have done a few things differently. But I think you certainly don't want to take any unnecessary risks. I think the conservative nature of the game, you end up in a few situations that you're typically trying to avoid throughout a game. And I don't know what the exact number was or how many third and longs we ended up having. But it was just the nature of the game. And, you know, I definitely found myself, you know, being more conservative, which, you know, led me to be a little bit late on some of the things that I was trying to do. And, you know, but again, we managed the game and we got the win, and that's what we were. You know, that was the plan, and we did it.
So we'll see how that game plan will change or not. It's maybe something to consider and think of, and it's something that I'm sure Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports probably thought of about as well based off of last week as we bring him into the conversation as we do every Thursday. Lee, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon. So you got a new dog now, huh?
Yes, McQueen.
You guys
man.
Keep adding pieces to the family, huh?
Dude, I needed. I'm a dog owner, man, and it's been tough without Einstein. So the wife, I guess, kind of saw me and the little guy cry a few many times. And next thing you know, she told us it's coming.
What kind of dog is the dog? New dog.
Same as Einstein, mini schnauzer.
Love it. Beautiful dog.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I'm sure your son is very happy right now.
He is. But he's also going through, like, the big brother thing, right? So, like, if there's a little bit too much attention, like right. He did yesterday, he'll pick him up and put him in the kennel and close the cage. And I'm like, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's not a punishment,
Carmen.
How old is
he, 3, 4 years old?
He turns 4 on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
He turns
so 4 there you go. I mean,
I'm like, what are you doing? No, you can't do that. Anyway, I'm dealing with that. But no, it's good. It's all good. I promise. He is happy. He played with him a lot better this morning.
He'll be just fine.
Exactly. That's what I tell my wife. She's like, oh, no, we shouldn't have. Like, it's day 3 for the next 10 to 14 years. It's okay. So, first off, I guess to do your job, you have to make sure the games get played and then find out who's playing in those games and then find out who's coaching in those games. I don't know how you do this. I mean, like last week, it's just games get canceled. They get canceled. At the start, I mean, Florida State keeps doing this. It's incredible, man.
And how about the whole situation, what's going on now with the Coastal Carolina game? They're not playing Liberty. BYU, on 2 days' notice, took that game, and they're flying out tomorrow to play Coastal Carolina. But I think that's great. I think it's great that they're doing it during a year like this. And, you know, it teaches these kids, you know what, you gotta do things on the fly, and that's what teaches – you know, college kids all about is change and how do you adapt to change. So I think it's great for college football. I can tell you this much, a lot of people are going to be tuning into that Coastal Carolina BYU game.
Yeah, for sure. And look, the first game we're looking at, Louisiana Lafayette, they know all about Coastal Carolina. Pretty good matchup in game that was. They're taking on App State. I'm not going to call them nemesis, but this is a matchup, man. If you're a Cajun fan, you know all about 2.5-point favorite for App State.
App State has dominated Louisiana Lafayette. But interesting is both teams played really well last week. App State finally put it all together. They outgained Troy by 323 yards and won 47-10. Zach Thomas had his best game of the year, threw four touchdowns. And the Raging Cajuns made short work of the COVID-hampered Monroe squad, a resounding 70-20 blowout. Levi Lewis, three touchdowns, running for two more. Raging Cajuns are 0-8 against the spread and straight up against Appalachian State. But they are really good underdog, 8-3-1 the last 12. They have a tight passing D, allowing only fourth, I think they're fourth in pass efficiency in the country, and they do rush for 217 yards per game. I think the App State team just does not have the explosiveness they had last year. Revenge, revenge, revenge. Say that eight times. Raging Cajuns, 35-27.
Ooh, I like that. Coach Billy Napier, quick little side note. You think he goes after this year?
Yeah, I think so. The stock's pretty high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Especially when you say you get that win and it does well.
There's not much else for him to accomplish.
Right. In that program, we just got a new head coach at Southern Miss, Will Hall, the offensive coordinator, which is the next game. We'll talk about Tulane and Memphis now, wave up or favored by one. But in my case with Southern Miss, I just fine. You're leaving 4 years for a bigger job? Fine. Just set it up, man, because right now they're a disaster.
Is that how long he's been there, Billy Napier?
I don't know. I think it's, what, 3-4 years, something of that nature? I think off the top of my head, it's close to that, man. I don't know what day of the week it is most of the week, man, Lee. I'll be honest with you. How is Tulane favored against Memphis?
Okay, so he's actually, this is his third year, Billy Napier.
There you go.
Third year. So 3 years is close enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, they're favored because Memphis keeps losing pieces. I mean, Brady White's still there, but he threw for a season low 205 yards last week. He's down to, like, his four-string running back. Receivers, they've lost a slew of those guys. Guys keep tapping out for the NFL, COVID, injuries. And I know Tulane's blown three losses, but it still says something that they were able to build those leads. And I just think Pratt, 16 touchdowns, only five interceptions. He's improving by the week. He's confident. Willie Fritz's defense, 10 sacks the last three games. Tigers, 125th against the pass. I think Tulane hits on some big plays. I have winning this game here, 32-24.
All right. Well, folks in Uptown New Orleans would like to hear that. Texas A&M, 7-point favorite against the Auburn Tigers. We just saw the Aggies last week in College Station. It was a win. I don't know. I'd call it impressive. It is what it is. But this game here, you got, I guess, two defensive lines that are pretty good going against each other.
You do. Texas A&M, that three-week layoff really hurt them. They were flat as a pancake. But everyone talks about the recruiting classes for A&M. The biggest acquisition that Jimbo Fisher ever had was Mike Elko, defensive coordinator who came over from Notre Dame. I mean, he's worth every penny. They're allowing just 11 points per game since the Florida game. They're the number five defense in the country. Auburn's going to have to play this game. Tank Bigsby is not 100%. You watch him at running back. They're missing their blindside tackle, Alec Jackson. He's out with a hand injury. And Bo Nix, he used to be able to make some plays when he was running around. Not really anymore. They were down 42-6 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, a couple late touchdowns mean nothing. And the Tigers won the last two games, 28-20 and 28-24.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas A&M, they get their revenge and win by double digits, 34-23. They watch their offensive and defensive lines. Very, very good. At the level that LSU is when they win national titles in Alabama. That good.
Speaking of the LSU Tigers, speaking with Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, we do each Thursday. LSU hosting Alabama, 29.5-point favorite.
Would anyone volunteer to play quarterback for LSU at this point?
Jordan just raised his hand over here. You want to play quarterback?
I'd play quarterback for LSU and I'd basically be the next Saban.
I'll give you an idea. I've had literally friends text me that they're convinced Nick Saban doesn't want to give up a first down, much less the 50-yard line. I mean, there's revenge involved.
There's something to be said about when you go against your old team. And LSU beating them last year says something. Bama's looking for their fifth straight win and cover in Baton Rouge. The last two times they pitched shutouts, they'd like to have a third in a row. That would be something they could talk about. I mean, I'm looking for anything, you know, anything positive with T.J. Finley or Max Johnson. I just think they're totally overmatched here. And Bama, I thought there'd be some, you know, the passing game wouldn't be as good without Jalen Waddle. Well, it's not far off. I mean, Smith, Devontae Smith, already 1,000 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns. Michi the third. Michi's averaging 19 yards per catch on 31 receptions. And Najee Harris at running back, 17 touchdowns on the year. Bama big, 45-7.
All right, Saints and Falcons here. Look, it was, what, 24-9. Saints defense hadn't given up a touchdown the last four games. Everything in my gut right now is telling me this is going to be a classic fourth quarter matchup between these two teams. You have the Saints favored, but by nine?
No, it's three.
Okay, that's what I thought, by three. Okay, no problem. That's what I was making sure, because it's three.
Steve.
No, that's fine.
He does that every time he gets a new girlfriend, I get a couple time typos.
I mean,
I'm fully aware what that's like with this one in front of
me. I've never got a new girlfriend. I've never had a girlfriend.
Well, then there's no excuse. At least a girlfriend's an excuse.
So true. You'd even take 9 points, correct, in Atlanta?
I'd love nine, but I know. I don't know.
Okay, you look at different angles. Don't underestimate the short division revenge. During the last 11 years, when two division teams play each other twice in a three-week period, the team that lost the first game is 19-4 against the spread. That's 83% in the matchup. Now, the Saints, I think, took a little advantage of Julio Jones leaving the game early. Atlanta's pass protection, they had some problems, gave up major problems, gave up 8 sacks in that game. Here's what I think's happening. Taysom Hill is great as a change of pace quarterback. Put him in for a couple series. I don't think he's a guy that's going to beat good teams here. And I think they've got the playbook on him now. They know what he does well. And I think even though the Saints are the second-best team in the NFL, I have Atlanta winning 20-17.
It's all the time we have for Lee Sterling. Now, yeah, one more thing we can touch on, and that's how can folks get Green Bay and Philadelphia? Packers are a 9.5-point favorite. How can folks do that?
Yeah, they got to tune in and watch. I mean, Green Bay, you need Green Bay to lose. So still think New Orleans is going to be in pretty good shape. What are they estimating when Drew Brees will get back? Have they put a timetable on it yet?
I mean, they didn't put him on. You know, they put him on IR, so you know it's 3 weeks. I keep looking at Kansas City. I mean, maybe next week you might see him like throw or something, and that would make me feel better. But I'm not playing him at Philly, outside in a cold or that team. So, KC, I'd be ecstatic. I think realistically, maybe Minnesota, right?
Okay,
That's an NFC game, right?
And this year with what's going on with teams with limited home crowds or no crowds at all, home field maybe isn't quite as important. So, obviously, you'd like to be a one or two seed, but I think they'll be fine. So you want to get the Green Bay-Philly game, just call 800-400-9741. What a run. It's been 10 of 13 winning weeks. You're already 8-2 to start college basketball. The first month is so much easier than any other time college basketball in any sport. So you want to hop on board, ParamountSports.com. Call us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
As always, man, I appreciate the time. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There he goes. We'll talk to him again next Thursday. Sports Hangover continues next. It is 30 minutes until the top of the hour. Matt Muscone, after further review, will take on over here as well. It's Gus Cattingill, Jordan Kleber, buddy, back over to the LaRose Studios. He'll take your phone calls. We'll take them with you. We come back on ESPN New Orleans.
All the time. She's fine.
Unhappy at your job? You don't really have a career, you have a job. Or maybe you're out of work altogether. Listen to me. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Sound too good to be true? Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes, meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Is the cost of finishing the basement worth the benefit of some peace and quiet?
When questions find you, Merrill Edge Self-Directed Investing can help you find answers with personalized planning tools and insights to help you get where you want to go, even if it's just downstairs. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
It's time to rise and grind. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
The MVP of the 2020 NFL campaign key will be...
I'll give it to Russell Wilson, right? It's his time. It's like basketball where he's like, LeBron. No, we're not going to give it to LeBron. We'll give it to somebody else. Okay. Michael Jordan. We're going to give it to somebody else. Well, now it's his time. I mean, the guy's been in the league 8 years. He's gotten zero votes.
Crazy.
There's 19
crazy.
Other players since he's gotten in the league that has received a vote. Russell Wilson has received one vote, and you would think, you know, when I first found this out, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense because it seems like every year for the first 8 to 9 games of a season, we're talking about Russell Wilson MVP. This happens, though, this year.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, your smart speaker, or on ESPN News.
106 miles to Chicago. Got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Let's hear from Chauncey Gardner Johnson now. By the way, how excited are you that the Saints are the number one ranked overall defense in the NFL, Jordan?
How excited am I?
Yeah, how excited are you? Considering that at the beginning of the season, it couldn't stop anybody.
Woo!
Yeah, there we go. There's some excitement right there. Cam Jordan says, settle down. Settle down. It doesn't matter to him.
How many games do we have left? 5? How many games do we have left to the Super Bowl? We don't know. At the end of the season, we'll talk about it. Right now, we're trending upwards, and I like the way our defense is playing. And at the same time, you know, we still have some room to grow. So we're going to try and continue to push ourselves to be better than we were the game before.
There you go. Now, Chauncey Gardner Johnson had this to say about the Saints' defense being number one.
I'm going to be honest with you. Numbers don't mean nothing. You can have no one defense and still be sorry and be 0-8. That don't mean nothing. I mean, we just – numbers is just something to get hype fans and friends from. Going out there every Sunday and y'all seeing us, those are the numbers. Stopping the deep ball, stopping the run, like, forget the stats, like, how can we stop this team from scoring? And other team can't win if they don't score. And that's what the number one defense is supposed to think. You can't win if you don't score. So that's the mindset of a number one defense. And we're trying to go from good to great. We're just trying to just handle our business and just continue playing what we've been doing because it's right there for us. We just got to keep pushing.
Part of the reason they have gotten, though, those stats and those numbers is the secondary improvement. They've gotten better.
Compete. And stop the deep ball. Everybody think we're giving up all these deep balls, you know, we can't cover. I mean, you're going to give up one, you're going to give up two, but it's about limiting them and just focusing on your job and just going out there and compete. Like, we were too worried about numbers, but everybody's saying who we play, man, forget all that. It started from when we sat down and said, listen, we ain't doing this no more. We ain't getting beat. We feel like we're the best secondary in the league. And it's showing every week. And we got the best defense in the league. And y'all see that every week. We ain't worried about these numbers. We just worried about get that ball, do our job, and go play football.
Look, I mentioned it with Mike Tripplin when we had him on. The play of the safeties has gotten better, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Because remember, I said at the beginning of the season every week, he had a seat. I mean, like, I was going to get him a monogram little seat pad on the bench next to Coach Marcus Williams with his name and initials and numbers and everything, right? Remember at the beginning of the season? I mean, forget just grabbing a folding chair. I mean, I was going to, you know, like when you, like college football stadiums, instead of just sitting on that aluminum bench, I mean, you can, like, you know, buy one of those chair bags. I was going to get him a chair bag because he was going to be there every week. He's improved. He's played better, hasn't he?
He has.
I mean, like, legitimately, when's the last time you and I have come in to the studio, mic's off, and had a discussion about Marcus Williams?
Was it after the Chicago game?
So you're talking about at the very least the beginning of last month.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying.
I was gonna say Chicago game.
Okay, well, he's been better though. He's been better.
Yes.
Jenkins has looked nice, right? Cornerbacks have been playing very well as well. Chauncey on that.
When you look at the whole defense schematically, like, everybody play a specific role. Everybody do what they do best. And I feel like these past couple weeks, you notice it. Like, everybody doing their job. Everybody focusing on what they can handle. We're not controlling all this other stuff, because when you dial in and start doing too much and start playing outside of yourself, you ain't going to do nothing. So when you just play within your teammates, within the other 10 guys you got, because that makes you the 11th guy, like Coach says, just do your part. Play your role and stay focused. So I feel like just focusing on the important things at the right time, at the right place.
One of the things as well that's been good, like he played a couple different positions last year and everything. You've seen him come in, though, on pressure situations, right? Last year he had a big hit and sack at the end of a game, things of that nature. So he kind of likes coming. He was asked if he likes coming off the edge.
Nobody can't stop us. Like, I feel like I'm best. My teammates play their best. I can't give you no more tips than that. Like, you talking about coming off the edge. I don't know what you're talking about. I just play football. So whatever coach call, Chauncey going to go 100%. CD Dude's going to go 100%, whatever y'all want to call me. It's just like, I'm a gutsy player. I do what I got to do. And I don't get caught in too many bad positions, because I'm not worried about people making plays on that. I'm just worried about what I'm supposed to do. If I got to come off that edge, I promise nobody going to come off that. Nobody going to get off the edge. If I promise coach they go cover this guy, nobody going to catch that ball. So I feel like when they tell me to do something, I just trigger a whole other focus mindset, if that makes sense. I just do my job.
You don't happen to know any, like, DNA physicists or, like, you know, chemists or anything like that? People, like, clone stuff? Because I need, like, 10 more of them. Just, I'll take 1, 2, 3, 4. Just scatter them throughout the team. I just love this guy's attitude. Don't you?
I'm best. We're the best.
We haven't got to that yet.
No, we haven't got to that.
Hold on a second. This is him playing just one position this year and how that has helped.
Last year. This year, I mean, it's been good. I mean, just really growing each other. This is our second year really as a whole, and our first year with Malcolm. So just put it all together and just going out there is just something that I really don't really, how can I say, like, it's been a blessing. You know, it's what I can do and be a part of this team. And I'm just happy to be here. That's all. I ain't really, that question went over my head, but I apologize.
Love this guy. So he's a nickel corner, right? He was asked where he sees himself ranking-wise, stats-wise, in the league.
Nickel. I'm the best nickel. I tell my team, I say, man, I only play nickel. We don't need to play nothing else. I got Malcolm, great safety. Doug, great safety. Got two of the best corners. I got corners in the room that come in and play. I play nickel because that's my role. I love doing it. Whatever Coach Payton, Coach DA, AG to match me, I go out there the best I can do it, because I feel like I'm the best in the league at this nickel stuff. And it only complemented with playing with the teammates I got now. So I only play one position. I ain't dialed in on too much other stuff. I don't really play football. I ain't really worried about how many positions I'm playing. I'm just going out there to play football, do what's good for my teammates.
I mean, it's hard for me to argue. Can you think of a better nickel corner right now?
No.
No? Just saying. I it's just, it's required. Choir listening. I almost think, like, you know, he might be my favorite interview right now, isn't he? Kamara's right there, too. I would say, who are your top three players you look forward to hearing every week?
Cam's always one.
Cam?
Cam Jordan's always one.
Okay. You put him at first, at one. Chauncey's my number one. I love Chauncey. Chauncey's one. I'm going to go Kamara, too.
Is that because
I think Alvin Kamara's been excellent this year.
He has
I think
been excellent with the
he's
media.
Been deep. He's explained different things that's going on. He's almost sort of taken the Drew Brees kind of role of kind of speaking on behalf of the team, the support, what they try to do. Speaks on offense and defensive players. Have you noticed that? Like, people are asking him stuff on the defensive side, asking him on the offensive line.
From year one to now,
it's not even close.
Yeah, it's there's.
But what I'm saying is, like,
player talking.
And I'm not saying I've grown. You know, I know what Drew's gonna say, but I almost think, like, just even energy wise and just chuckling. You know, like it seemed like a grind this year for Drew, hasn't it? Like, I just, there's so many times I'm like, this is absolutely his last year. And he's locked in. Hopefully he's healing. See, Lee made me start thinking now I need a rib update. How many ribs do we have, by the way?
Well, I know he fractured 11.
Right. No, I understand.
Let me count.
You going to count now?
Let's see if I can feel.
Just Google it. I think it's 21. Is 21? Do we have 21 ribs? I don't know. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? 11 ribs is a lot, though. One way, shape, or form when you look at it.
Nope.
24? 21?
The vast majority of people have 12 sets or 24
ribs. Okay,
that's
what I thought. I knew it was like the 20s. So he broke 11. So basically he broke half his ribs. It's not funny. It's not. I'm not laughing. It
just were.
No, I'm just.
What do you mean you're not laughing?
I'm not laughing.
You're
that
laughing.
I'm not laughing that he broke ribs. I'm laughing
at the situation.
Right. I'm laughing like
that's still
who
bad.
Who breaks half their ribs? I mean,
Drew
like
Brees did.
No, I know.
And you're laughing.
No, that's my point. I'm like, of course he doesn't just have one broken rib. He breaks half his ribs.
Santa's listening, and you're on the naughty list for that one.
Why? No. I'm not laughing at him.
Wow.
It's almost
laughing
like...
Laughing at Sir Saint himself.
No, you're completely misconstruing my laughter. It's like, you gotta be kidding me. The guy broke half his ribs. Just about.
See, then you added that last little part and made me...
Well, no, it's just about meaning it's not half.
Yeah, the way you said it, though.
Well, 24 is 12, so just about half. He has 11. You know what? With this medical stuff, they probably missed one. So yeah, you know what? Let's just go with half.
There you go with the laughter again.
Well, that was a slight. That was a slight to the excellent medical staff over there. How do you miss that many ribs? I'm not. You know what? I need to move on. Because I just... Half your ribs. I don't know how that guy stood up.
And you're laughing at him.
No! Again, no. I wasn't laughing at him. I'm laughing at the fact that it's literally about almost half his ribs. That's insane. And a dude bent down to throw a touchdown pass. I'm wondering if I'd bend over for other different situations and things, you know, that I would need to do. Including tying your shoe and, you know, using the facilities. This dude dropped down, got a bad snap, and then threw a touchdown pass. With half his ribs broke. You can't complain. Like, if you're a Saints fan, at the very least for this rest of the football season... You're not allowed to complain about anything that you're in pain in. Would you agree with me on that?
I got a little bit of pain in my lower
back right now. No. Because then I would respond with, Drew Brees threw a touchdown pass with half his ribs broken.
Sorry, Drew Brees is built different.
No, he is.
He's a professional athlete.
Well, you once said you could be, I'm sorry, let's do it again, Steph Curry.
I could be. Okay. I am not, though.
But you did say.
But I could.
You did say in the game of one-on-one you could take on Steph Curry.
That one was
You said worst. You could have been a tight end at LSU.
That's fact.
To which you then would have naturally in your mind gone on to the NFL.
I would have.
Okay. I mean, who's Travis Kelce, right?
I mean, yeah, in XFL maybe, you know.
So at the very least XFL.
Yeah.
But you would have played in the SEC.
Yeah, I think okay, I could have played you. In the SEC.
Anything baseball-wise? Did I miss anything baseball?
I was the glove.
Oh, that's right. Your nickname was the glove. So you would have been a gold glove first baseman.
Yes.
For
a
team.
A fantastic first baseman.
Fantastic first baseman. How many games did you play at St. Paul's baseball team?
It was very, I hate to say it, it was kind of political.
Politics got in the way.
So I was, couldn't really.
Well, that's remarkable considering that you would have been a, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 time gold glover in the majors?
Yeah.
That's incredible that politics kept you from being a gold glove first baseman in Major League Baseball. So you didn't actually play a single game for St. Paul's baseball.
I played ultimate frisbee at St. Paul's.
You played ultimate frisbee.
Which is a very hard sport, by the way.
I love ultimate frisbee.
You do?
Yeah.
It's not slight?
No, not at all. We did very well at Southern Miss, which led us on our way to 2-time intramural champions.
Not as an ultimate frisbee team.
No, we didn't win the ultimate frisbee,
exactly.
But you have to do well. You have to do like third place or better at every sport to be the overall champions. We figured that out sophomore year. Then we set out to do everything, including sports trivia, badminton, whatever you could compete in, we did. Just a place. At the end of the year, there's that shiny plaque. Still, by the way, over there at the workout center on the campus of Southern
Miss. I think now, though, if I were to,
I wonder if Will Hall will move it over since he knows me. You know, I wonder if, like, if I can ask him. I mean, now I really know somebody over there. So, I mean, like, you know, like, Will, just, I know you're busy putting together your staff, you know, turning around a football program and all, but I'm just saying, if, you know, if you want to go over to the Payne Center and just grab one of the two plaques that are over there with our names and kind of bring them over to the athletic building, it'd be great.
I might try to, walk on as all? A, I might try to walk on the
walk
basketball.
Walk on with what?
The basketball team.
For who?
Southeastern.
I guess technically you do have eligibility, don't you?
I think I have one more year.
You know, they just played LSU.
And guess what? Someone that went to St. Paul's lit LSU up when he was on Southeastern, and then he went over to LSU.
Oh, really? Did you ever play him in one-on-one?
No.
Did you play him in a game of horse, 21, anything like that? See, I was hoping you'd tell me you beat him. Sports Hangover, final segment. We'll come back. I promise we'll talk something about other than Jordan's fantasy world.
It's not fantasy.
Well, you know, I'm a two-time champion. You're not.
I'm a champion.
Champion's a champion.
I'm a champion.
You never did prove that, by the way.
I'm a Pelican Park baseball champion.
Never did prove it. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Great year-end savings start now. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
Hey everyone, Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover, excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. You'll be greeted by Andrea, and once you've checked in on the mini iPads, you'll start the learning process with Shane. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, erectile dysfunction, IV therapy. Look, just get tested. I did. See where you stand. Visit Men's Total Health, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call them or go online at menstotalhealth.net.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
How can we get excited on a show and just talk
sports? That's how they talk in the major league.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
There we go. That's what I need to hear during Falcon Hate Week, right? Too bad Saints fans can't sell out the Mercedes-Benz Stadium over there. Are they allowing any fans?
Do they even allow any fans?
I didn't say Falcons fans. I said fans, which would probably be the opposing team fans.
No, I know. But
how bad you think they want to win this game? They didn't score a touchdown.
Why would they want to win this game?
They didn't score a touchdown. It's got to be it's burning on them.
I'd be upset if I was a Falcons fan winning games right now.
Mm. Okay. Why?
Better draft pick.
Exactly. It's what did I say a couple weeks ago when they fired Dan Quinn?
And it's a win.
8-8, baby. As long as you don't beat the Saints, win every other game. Win every other game. Get as far removed from Trevor Lawrence or anybody worth a darn that you can. Keep doing it. That's how I feel. A couple of headlines that we threw out there that we kind of touched on, I guess, of note. We'll start with that. It involves the Saints. Julio Jones did not practice today. Now, what's important is he was limited yesterday So he downgraded to DNP today. He's dealing with the hamstring issue. So, Jordan, again, you would think, are you resting him today? You just kind of maybe wanted to get him a little bit in that game plan. Rest today, tomorrow. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Maybe try it out, you know, to see where it goes. One of the things that really stood out today, key stat-wise, was what Mike Triplett brought up. The last two games against the Falcons, 17 sacks. That's an absurdly high number, don't you think? I mean, again, I'm loving that. What do you do if you're the Falcons to avoid that? Clearly, they have an advantage here over what's going on in your offensive line. 17 sacks over the last two games against Atlanta. I think the beauty of it is that a lot of it is on that D-line. So, I like it. Cam Jordan was trying. You think he was baited yesterday when he was asked about, was it like playing the Falcons this week?
I have no idea what you're talking about this week. This week, I'm only focused on getting the next W. I think it's going to take a team collective effort to not only keep Matt Ryan in the pocket, as well as, you know, contain the likes of Julio and Calvin.
There you go. So Julio looks like he may or may not play. I don't know. So we'll see how that game goes moving forward. Sean Payton did have this to say about the Falcons' defense again earlier today when he spoke with reporters in a game that, again, it happened. They made the plays. I just think the Raiders were there, but they maybe didn't show up, if you get my drift. This is Coach.
Last week, they took the ball away five times. And it just looked like they were a tick step faster to the spot than Vegas. They did it with pressure. They did it with ball disruption. They intercepted it. They recovered fumbles. I think they're playing with confidence. I think you're seeing a little bit more pressure from them than in past. And you got a veteran group, an experienced group that I think is playing exceptionally well.
So that gives you an idea of maybe the mental approach from Sean Payton going into this game. What do you think is when you look at all of the aspects going into this game, and I'm going to focus on it a lot more tomorrow, as to what can be the same, what can be different, and we'll look back at that 24-9 win and what worked for the Saints offense once it started to get rolling and things that worked. Because, look, Taysom Hill was asked about it yesterday. As you think, like, the game plays are going to be changing week to week, and especially going to the Falcons, this is what he had to say, and I'll make a point here.
I don't think it changes, honestly. I think this was our schedule last year where we played somebody else, and I don't remember who it was, but then played them again the next week. So we've done it before, and I would say – at least for me and offensively, what we're trying to accomplish, our schedule, our routine, everything is the same. And, you know, we're getting ready to win a football game the same way we did last time against them. You know, obviously there's some elements of, you know, how much carryover do you carry from the last game, and, you know, the coaches will continue to handle that, and we'll make adjustments that way.
So I think that's one of the things that will be a storyline that we'll talk about tomorrow as well, more than anything. What will we see offensively? What are you grinning about and pointing? Why do I care what the Falcons are tweeting?
I chose this as my storyline. Don't let Young Hoku get into field goal range. The Atlanta Falcons tweeted out minutes ago. As of Wednesday, no kicker in the NFL has more Pro Bowl votes than Young Hoku.
Is that where they are right now?
I told you this.
It's
the storyline.
Hold on a second. I'm being dead serious. See, they do this to themselves. They do this to themselves. Are you trying to tell me during Falcon Saints hate week for them, the thing that's going to make them stick out their chest is their punter? I want you to think about that for a second. Their punter, who only would see the field if what happens, Jordan? I'm just, What would happen?
Is there a field goal?
No, a punt. Or a kicker, right?
That's why I said don't get in the field goal range.
I don't even know what to say. That's what they're tweeting. Nobody has more Pro Bowl votes at the kicker position.
No
huh?
kicker. Yeah.
No kicker. Wow. Young Wei Koo, by the way, Jordan. Here's to you.
No, it's not. It's not.
I'm just telling you.
No, it's not how it's pronounced. No.
From my source, that's how it's pronounced.
Well, that's how it's pronounced, then I don't.
Well, I'm.
Then I don't know how to pronounce
it. You're talking over the music here, all right? That is unbelievable. That's what they're tweeting. That was 4 minutes ago. As of when? That's incredible. You know what? You know what I keep saying in most games as we're trying to get the number one seed, being the Saints, we, right? You don't really care how you get to it and how you win. No, not at all. I'm thinking I want another beating. You want another beating?
I'm still just surprised it's Young Wei Koo.
Young Wei Koo? Who cares? It's their kicker. Like, seriously. It's their kicker. That's what they're proud of. They have nobody else getting Pro Bowl votes on their team.
I told you yesterday, top storyline.
Yep. Young Wei Koo.
It's a pat on the back.
Wow. You said it. Young Wei Koo. Right?
Young Wei Koo.
Young Wei Koo. That's where they are. That's where they are right now, by the way.
Anyway.
I'm ready for tomorrow. Are you? I'm ready. I'm
always ready for a Friday.
The Graf chiming in. He leads the league in scoring.
Wow.
He had three field goals against the Saints a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he was their offense, man. You know what? I'm looking at this wrong. Get at it, baby. Get more votes by just kicking away on Sunday. Because if he's the primary offensive weaponry, we're good. I was looking at it the wrong way.
Did I enlighten you?
Exactly. I wouldn't say you have. Lee Sterling, Andrew Allegretta, Ben Eisler, Mike Triplett, Gary Smith, Chris Blair, thank you for being a part of the show. Matt Moscone, after further review, is up next. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday. Do your homework. I want a key to the game. I want scores. I want a player on offense and defense that needs to have a big game for the Saints to win their ninth straight in a row. Don't forget, a win by the Saints, a loss by the Bears. They clinch a playoff spot on Sunday. It's been the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations. I'm Alan Jones, founder and CEO of Bambi. I created Bambi specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain compliance for $99 a month, seriously. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime.